Thank you for the love that you have given us to love you with. Thank you for that love. It's your love that you've given us to love you with. Lord, thank you for that love. Lord, let us just grow in that love. Let us not be hesitant. Let us not be unbelieving in what you've given us. Lord, you live in us. The life I now live, this is Christ that liveth in me. And I thank you, Lord, that it's all there. All of that love is there. Oh, I'm smitten, ravished. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this wooing and this courtship. Thank you for your proposal. Lord, let it be our own. Let it be something that is the most intimate to every life here. Strike these young people today. Oh, let them know how much you love them. Lord, I thank you. Buy a car when I was 17, Lord, you let me know I want to marry you. Lord, thank you, God. Thank you somehow that you hit me with it. Lord, thank you again that you're impressing this upon us even more and more because you're coming. The time is shortening. Lord, let us be awake and alive and aware, Lord God, looking for you. We thank you. God, cause us to praise you with all that is within us. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12. It's been a year. It's time to get back into this section again. I love how the Lord, his word's so powerful. The layers, brothers and sisters, and never to be exhausted. But I thank God for this precious encouragement of the men and women we are, but then how powerful and all-loving the Word of God is. Praise His name. Reading from verse 1, 2 Samuel 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. Now this prophet is coming to David at this time because the Lord has encouraged Nathan to come to David the king. This is after his failing with lusting after Bathsheba. And not stopping in that failure and continuing on and panicking once he was in the wrong, which we do often, trying to figure out how to make it right in the wrong in our own strength. And you understand that. You have been there. You might be there today. And you think that, wow, you've got this all figured out, and this even caused David to become a murderer. You understand this, that he murdered Uriah. He did. That's how he was going to fix his problem. Isn't that amazing? Don't think how far and how low you'll go when you depart from the will of God in your life. But for the grace of God, there go I. Amen? 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 Know it. Own it. Amen. But for God. Now, after all that had settled, he had thought, well, this is done. Maybe he thought I got away with it. Maybe he just thought in his heart, too, that, well, you know, it's all good now. I know the Lord's forgiven me. I'm thankful for the grace of God. Just moving on. But his heart was not right before God in it. We know it. Because God sent the word. See, that's what the prophet always represented, is the word. So don't go, you know, around saying, well, you know, we don't got no prophets today. You have the word of God. All right? All right. So here came the prophet. And he said, you know, there was this rich man. He had lots of flocks and lots of herds. And then there was this poor man. Back there in verse 3, he had one little lamb, which he had brought, nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat, drank of his own cup, lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And you thought you loved your dog. This was his pet, beyond a pet. This was kind of like a little girl to him. I've got a little girl at home. Her name's Belle. Hope she's not in the trash right now. All right. Always have to tell that. Don't you get in the trash. All right. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him. So that rich guy said, I'm not going to take anything of what I got. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against that man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, that man has done this thing. He's going to die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You're the man. You're him. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king. Sound familiar? Kings. Kings unto God. And I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom and gave thee the house of Israel and all of Judah. And I'm speaking today to those that have been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. What you have been given is even more. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And I will take thee thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For this thou didst in secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Look at that. It was all about testimony. It was about the word of the Lord. It wasn't about David in a sense of David. It was about the word of the Lord. Our stand, praise God. But he said, because by these deeds thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Now this has encouraged my heart so many times over the years, and I know yours as well too. And what a hefty, hefty price to pay when we devise our own ways. That way is always going to be death and destruction. The enemy will always tell you otherwise. The enemy will always tell you it's a little thing. It's just what we do now. It's just what everybody does now. This is it. I'll just be in it for a little bit and then we'll get back on track. The enemy has done that since the enemy has been. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. When you let down fighting, that's when you get knocked down. Amen? Not that we ever would, but it's almost like you're feeling sorry for your opponent. I always remember my dad in competition, he said, don't you ever feel sorry for your opponent. You get them down, you get them down more. And they're even down more, you get them down so much they don't want to show up the next time. Are you more than a conqueror or not? All right. Well, today's sermon is call it what it is. Call it what it is. By grace, may we have the spirit of a Nathan that speaks to us. Speaks to us. In our stiff-necked ways. And in our hardened ways. And in, I've got to be seen ways. The spirit of the Nathan that speaks to us. And the spirit of Nathan that speaks to others in love. To not ignore it. Don't delay it. Don't be stubborn. Call it what it is. And especially in this day and age, brothers and sisters, we are in the day and age of calling everything anything but what it is. And you know this from the very top down to the lowest. Let's call it what it's not. Let's disguise it in something that it's not. God help us to fight the good fight of faith because it's a lie. That's all a lie. And know this. Know this for your own life. Know this. I don't care how many times you tell yourself a lie. It's still going to be a lie. If it's a devil, call it a devil. It's just what it is. We are in the age. Heard it for many years, but I know we're in the age. It's good God, it's good devil, it's good everybody. But actually, the real living God in this age, it ain't good God. See, that's the big changer now. They hate God, and they're not afraid to blaspheme God. But brothers and sisters, the Lord encourage us to stand and withstand, and having done all to stand, and do not enter into that, and call it what it is. It's demonic compromise. It's exactly what it is. I'm not dancing around this anymore, because refusing to call it what it is dancing around the subject. And we do not have time. We don't. Better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. We were thankful for a precious life yesterday of one who would encourage that way. And as I testified, was encouraged in his life that way. I thank God for that. But when we dance around a subject, we live in denial. And not the world's denial. We're denying what the full power of God can do in our lives. We're denying and putting off what God wants for our lives. I think about Israel in the wilderness. They danced around the full promise of God to them for 40 years. Let that be a reality to your life. Go out and look at a map. They walked around the promise. God had promised them the promised land. God had given them all of that land. God had promised it to them. God gave them all of those incredible miracles, took them out of Egypt, showed them time and time again, I am the Lord thy God. But they danced around the promise and danced around the promise for 40 years and never entered in. And never entered in. Now, brothers and sisters, let that speak to us. When we do not address it, we end up going in circles. Have you been going in circles in your home? Do you feel as if truly you're chasing your tail? Have the little foxes finally become the full camel in your tent? Huh? We know this, don't we? Aren't you thankful that with God, though, it's still never too late? But that's today. That's what you have is today. I think of Samson. His parents said to him, is there not a woman from our people that would satisfy you? Now I've got to tell you something. My goodness. How weak a response. No, really, think about what they said to him. Is there not a woman among our people that would not satisfy you? And really, what an insult to even get to the point that our child would even ask that of us. That means it was expected. That means it had probably gone on before. It's awful quiet in this place, isn't it? We got to wake up. It's so true. It's time to stand. But God help us, if that is our child, it's not, is there not one here, honey, that you would like to have? No, it's, you know what, you're throwing your life away. You're making some very horrible, defiant decisions. By the grace of God, you were not brought up that way. And we're not going to do that. We're not even going to move at getting that evil for you. And by the way, if you're going to still be adamant and defiant and go get that, I could say it a lot of different ways, but I'll be polite. It's not going to be in this house that you're going to do it. All right. We must begin to take a stand. And by the grace of God, quit enabling sin in our home and even in our own lives. Compromise, brothers and sisters, is getting very thick. And it is. The reason we can speak of these things in truth is because we have a testimony of them in our own lives. Amen? Yes. Sure, we're not. We are not perfect people, but praise be to God, we have a perfect God. And he's perfectly in love with us. And I was encouraged again last week, and the Lord had been encouraging me so much for really the past couple years. I have his divine love that loves the same love to love him back with. I do. Yeah, we do. I love him with his love. It's so amazing. And in that love, praise God, I can be moved in the very same way. Praise God. Of Jesus Christ himself, because he lives in me. And I thank the Lord for that enabling. But see, when we quit standing in our homes and enable sin to get in our homes, we begin to compromise and we begin to live lives like Abraham's nephew, Lot. And that life always becomes a complete disaster. It can't be but a disaster. See, when we choose with our own eyes, when we choose with our own emotions, when we choose with our own will, it will always, 100% of the time, be a disaster. So let's ask ourselves right now, why would I want a disaster? Think about that. It's the truth. But that's every life here in our tendency. That is our first knee-jerk reaction. Because but for God, we will always go in our own selfish way. Amen. So it's got to be the word of the Lord. It's got to be the power of his love that encourages and motivates. There's got to be something that truly takes over by the grace of God and causes me to care, causes me to want to change by the grace of God, causes me to say, oh Lord, with who you are and what you've done, I know mercy has never left my life. I know it's just as if I've never sinned always. I know it is impossible for a child of God to sin. He that is born of God cannot sin. Neither can he sin. Let that, just that amount hit you. What response should there be? Lord, I want to live for you. I want you to truly reign in me. I know you already live in me. You promised that. You've given that. but to reign. To reign. Cause that love to cause me to respond in the fullness of appreciation, thankfulness, to get my eyes off of myself. Quit thinking somehow, some way. We are being fed stuff 24/7 from everything of this world. And it's against the will of God. And it is. No matter how good it seems, no matter how much you think you're due, the only thing that you're owed but for God is death. Every single one of us. We're souls. Souls. And God so loved the world, your soul, that He gave His only begotten Son freely. What are we caught up in? Huh? What's your angle? We got to stop that. Because that is the lie. And it's seeping everywhere. It's dividing everything. And all the enemy needs to do is to get you to look at anything, anything but the Word of God. And you're done. It can be education. It can be a relationship. It can be in all of those things. Well, I got to make it a little easier. I got to take church light. You know, gospel little. Then I don't have to fight so hard. I'll assure you with the message that you've heard, you'll be most miserable. And that'll be sent in a precious package from your Father. And it's called chastening and correction. And I would rather have, by the grace of God, chastening and correction as a mighty man of God that's yielding to the Lord. And knowing by His grace that I'm walking in the truth. Amen? Praise God. Now, brothers and sisters, see, Lot, he chose with his own eyes. He tried to direct his own life. And look again what it cost him. It cost him everything. 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 He lost his children to the ways of the world. He even lost his wife. She turned back. Even after, praise God, the Lord made the way. Always does. She loved the worldly life. More than she loved the Lord, obviously, but even more than she loved Lot and her children. And do not think that that can't be you. Do not think that somehow you are excused from that. It's but for the grace of God you're going to go that way if we do not yield to God. Now, when we plant the seeds of sin and disobedience, what do you think you're going to reap? What do you think you're going to farm? I talk to people all week long. Oh, I can't believe this is happening. I just sit there. I go, oh, Jesus, help them. Brother Hill used to say it like this. If I'm walking down the street and I see your house is on fire, well, it just wouldn't be polite to tell them. What? Well, I don't want to bother them. God forbid, amen? These things, let me tell you something. It ain't easy, but it's necessary. Do you want to win His best? Do you? We better wake up. We had better wake up. When we plant the seeds of sin and disobedience, we are going to reap things of sin and disobedience. If we want corn, as I said earlier, I appreciated Brother Hill saying that, then you plant corn. If you want beans, you plant beans. And if you want the most beautiful, profitable, restful, peaceful, incredible, overcoming, powerful life you could ever live, by the grace of God, you better plant the whole counsel of God and live it. It's true. Now, I know this walk is not easy. I know it's not. But nothing valuable ever is. And that's why the Bible called it the good fight of faith. He didn't call it the good stroll along of faith. He didn't call it the good, let's just kick up our heels and, you know, lollygag around in faith. He called it what it is. It's the good fight of faith. And he said very clearly, you endure hardness as a good soldier. And I'll tell you this, if you're not fighting, you're not walking in faith. That's right. If you're not fighting, you're not walking in faith. You're being overrun. Even coming here to this church, brothers and sisters, I know, praise God, it's a fight to come here. You know why? Because the Bible said that we are tightly fit and compacted together. Whenever you tightly fit and compact something together, let me tell you what you get. You get squishy. You get uncomfortable. Things even start smelling a bit. But that is exactly how God raises his jewels. It's the only way he's going to do it. And I thank God that diamonds, if that's what you're hoping and planning to be, they need fire. And they need pressure. Amen. And they need time in fire. And they need time in pressure. And then even when they come out diamond, then they've got to be cut. And then you know what they say, cuts the best diamonds, don't you? Diamonds. Okay, diamonds? Look across and thank the diamonds. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, amen, sister. Don't get me on another sermon now, sister. If we're to be a diamond, I'll close this up. It's not going to be a lotus land of ease. It's not going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be a way of suffering. But if we're in love, if we've fallen in love, the joy not just only exceeds the suffering, it gets us to focus on the joy as opposed to the suffering. It does. And who is the mightiest one that showed us this was Jesus Christ himself. As he says, it was the joy that was set before me. Isn't that precious? It wasn't because I'm just so dutiful or I'm just, you know, such a diligent son of God, and it's because I'm so obedient all the way to death. No, it's the joy that was set before me. He always magnified one thing, and that was the love, praise God, that he has for us. David realized that the only one that could search him was the Word. Search me, O God. Huh? Oh, I can quote the Word. I know the Word. But am I in the place where it's search me, Word? Search me, Word. Search me, O God. Oh, yes. And you think of what's searching us today. More mighty than the prophet Nathan. We got the whole counsel of God searching us. If you want it. Seeking those out that worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? Isn't that amazing? And I'll tell you what that spirit magnifies first and foremost is the love of God. He's seeking and searching for lovers of him Not of lovers of self, not of lovers of pleasure, but lovers of Him, lovers of truth, lovers of Jesus, lovers of the Word. Oh, thank you, Lord. How beautiful your plan is. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. I believe I'm in a place today that, you know what? There are many willing to be searched for a fully purposed reward, a crown. But I will tell you this. When He searches you, you better be in love. Oh, yes, you better. You best be you fallen in love with Him. Because I'm going to tell you two things that happen when He begins to search you. It gets mighty ugly. And I'm talking about when He really searches you. Yes, it does. You're going to come to the point of even the Apostle Paul, as he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." You flinching? Huh? And the other thing I'll tell you that it does, that separation out from among the camp gets mighty painful. But His love. But His love. How much do you love Him? Huh? Huh? How much do we love Him? What He promised to us in His Word. Is it just too beautiful and too ravishing to you by the grace of God? Lord, I can't say no to that. I'm going to ask Him today, you know what? Search me, O God. Cause my life to live. You know, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, it's okay. You get it done. Cause this life and this love for you and me to be willing to lay it down. Brothers and sisters, as Brother Paul said, you're going to suffer in like manner as I did. Huh? Don't think it's strange. Do not think this strange. Looking at all of our lives here, brothers and sisters, we're going through some heavy, heavy times. It's not pretty to the naked eye what's going on. Our precious Lord upon the cross was about as sad and scary in a lot of ways and absolutely awful as it could look, as He was just a piece of meat that was hung up there for you. That's what it seems to the eye. Oh, but to the heart. That was the joy. That was His mark. That's what He was prepared for. That's what He was born for. That's what He was sent for. And praise be to God. The beauty of it all. His sufferings for me, and the beauty of it all are your sufferings together with Him for Him. Amen? Amen. Let's just stand and praise Him for a second together. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Glory, glory. Glory to you, Lord. Glory, glory. Glory. Glory to you. Hallelujah.
keeping up the work. Jesus. For this is necessary for the preparation. Jesus. The preparation of the final lap of the race. Hear the voice of the Spirit, and he speaks softly to your heart of how I love you. Listen, and heed the words, and run on.
While every head is bowed, we, Lord, how could we say thank you enough? Lord, thank you that you bring this overwhelming humility to us. Thank you that it is the word of your grace, the love in your truth that just causes us to be so smitten. Lord, it's not just a bended knee. Oh, it's just an abounding leap and a hug upon your breast. Lord, thank you for that fervent love. Thank you for it, Jesus. And Lord, just let it penetrate us today, every life here. Lord, you are after her. You're after that goodly pearl, Lord God. You're after that one that truly she did. She said, I will go, and you interpret that for us. She said, I do. And Lord, I thank you for that. I praise you for it. It's beyond words. It's beyond expression. But thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you again for your gifts to this precious meeting. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, we love you, we love you. And come quickly. Oh, we want to see you. We want to see you face to face. Thank you for that encouragement that only you could give. In Jesus' name, amen.